Thank you all for coming and joining us here today as we gather for this service of worship. What a beautiful day it is for us to be able to be together and celebrate this first day of Holy Week. There's a lot that will be coming this week during Holy Week. We will have our music tonight at 6:30, and we hope that you will come to be part of it. This is probably the best Easter musical that I have ever heard them do at this church. I hope that you will come and be part of that. And then our Good Friday, our Monday, Thursday Seder service that we hope you'll be at on Thursday, Good Friday service that we will have at noon on Friday, and then, of course, Easter Sunday next week. It will be a big week, so we hope that you will come and join in that. If this is your first time being with us this morning, welcome. There should be a Connect card in the pew rack right in front of you. If you'll fill that out, let us know you've been here. We would appreciate that. If you have prayer concerns, write them on that same card and let us know, and just drop it in the offering plate and we'll try to respond to that. If you're joining us via live stream this morning, welcome. We are glad that you are with us as well. You can write us at the address you see on the screen and let us know that you've joined us, or you can send us your prayer concerns as well, and we'll try to respond to them as best we possibly can. But we're glad you're with us as well, and we hope that you will join us again in the days that are ahead. This is the day that our Lord has given to us to be able to worship and celebrate together. Let's begin by offering our prayers to Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this day. Thank you for little children as they come here to worship as well. Thank you for what they bring to this church and to our lives. We thank you for the gift of their lives to us, oh Lord. Help us to do the best that we know how to show them a proper picture of your love and your grace through the lives that we live. Lord, we have gathered here today to worship you on Palm Sunday. It was a special day as you came into the city on that donkey. Everyone was looking forward to what was ahead, and it took only a week for people to turn away from you. Help us, O Lord, to be far better than that as we gather here today. Let us bring our faith to you as fully as we know how, and help us to worship you as fully as we can. Hear our prayers we gather here, O Lord, for it is in your name we offer our prayer. Amen. Today we gather here at this prayer time to lift our hearts and our minds to God during this time. Mike and I usually go the other way around. Mike came to me this past week when we were talking about Palm Sunday, and he put an idea before me for me to preach. I said, that's better than anything I had. You preach it. And so he will be preaching today as we lead in, as I lead in our prayer time. There are many things that are happening in our world. As we know, over the last couple of weeks, there have been some terrible things that have occurred, and there are all kinds of struggles that are going on. There are good things that are happening as well. Let's take a few moments of silent prayer to lift our personal prayers to God, whatever they may be. If you have struggles or hurts or wounds that you need to take to the Lord, let's do that. And if you have praises that you want to give to God for the good things that are happening in your life, let's do that. Let's pray silently together for a moment. Holy Father, we come here lifting our prayers to you. It is a blessing that whatever prayer is being said, you hear each one of them. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are wherever we are, and you can hear our prayers individually, and we thank you for that. We thank you that there is no prayer that is lifted to you that goes unheard. We pray, oh God, that we will be faithful enough to walk in your assurance that our prayers will be heard and answered in the way that is best for us and for the world in which we live. We pray, oh God, that you will be with us in power and strength as we gather here today. With those who have had wounds to their lives or deaths within their families in the weeks that have preceded us, we pray, oh God, that they will know your comforting peace this morning. For those who are sick and wounded today, we pray that they would know your presence and your strength of lifting them up. Help them to have a calmness about them, O Lord, in the midst of their struggles, and help them to know that there are better days that are ahead. Help us to know as we gather in this place that there is nowhere you would rather be than be with us in a place of worship. You come here, O Lord, to bask in our presence and to experience our faith in you. And we pray, O God, that we would bring our faith to you with strength, knowing very well that you will stand beside us and that you will draw near us in good times or in bad, that you will love us with a never-ending love. And even the worst that we can think, the worst that we can do, will not separate us from you. The cross of Calvary proved that, O Lord. The resurrection of Easter Sunday proved that. We come here in this Holy Week to offer ourselves to you and to be reminded of what we can be, what we are sometimes, and to realize that in all of those times, you will still be with us. Thank you, O Lord, for having more confidence in us than we do in ourselves sometimes, for having more confidence in us than we do in you sometimes. Forgive us for our lack of faith and help us, O Lord, to bring you the strongest gift of faith that we possibly can in this Holy Week. Let every hour that passes in this week remind us of the week that you endured for us, so that we might know how precious we are to you. And help us to do the best that we know how to do, to be the best people we can be for you in this world. Help us as we gather here today, O Lord, to know the power of prayer, to bring to you the prayers of our existence, and to realize that it was your own disciples who came to you and who asked you to teach them to pray. You could have given them lessons in that, Lord, but what you gave them was a model prayer. Help us as we pray this prayer together to not just recite it, but to think about it and to look at what it means and to let it rest deeply within us and to help us learn from it, just as did those first disciples as they prayed together with Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. As we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, good morning. Excuse me while I adjust this podium. I'm not going to say anything.
Go ahead. Tell them what you said at 8:30.
All right. I told the early crowd that it was set for Zacchaeus. But I wasn't referring to anybody else. And God loves short people too. Yes. All right. Well, today's Palm Sunday, so we're going to read the traditional passage of Scripture. And we'll be reading Mark's account from chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. So hear with me the word of the Lord. As they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' you say, 'The Lord has need of it.' And immediately he will send it back here." And they went away, and they found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of the bystanders were saying to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. And they brought the colt to Jesus and put their coats on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches which had been cut from the fields. And those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, I never cease to be amazed with consumer culture in America. It appears to me that the American marketplace always has a jump on the observance or celebration of both our secular holidays and our religious holy days. Nowadays, it seems as if we have no more finished one cycle before the stores have stocked their shelves with the next round of products for the American consumer to consider. We go from Halloween to Thanksgiving to Christmas to Valentine's Day to Easter to Mother's Day to Memorial Day, Father's Day, the 4th of July, Labor Day, not to mention some of the minor observances such as St. Patrick's Day and even Groundhog Day. It goes on and on and on, and then it just starts all over again. Well, I mentioned Easter, and of course, it's that time of the year, and our minds are on it. I've heard it said that Easter is at least one occasion on the Christian calendar that's not been completely taken over by consumer culture. Maybe so, but if you go to Walmart or Target or any other big box store, it's difficult to miss the bunnies and the baskets, the peeps, the eggs, the candy, and all the other extras that go with them, guaranteed by the advertisements that your Easter celebration will be made successful and a memorable one. And then there's the cards, with the generic messages about springtime and renewal of nature. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against springtime. I'm not against nature or bunnies or peeps or candy for that matter. But it just largely misses the main point of the occasion, and that's the resurrection of Christ. But a related thought occurred to me as I was preparing my message for today. Of all the days in the Christian year, Palm Sunday can be the most confusing, even to the most seasoned church goer. Palm Sunday begins in a gala mood, a festival atmosphere suggesting an air of celebration. Hosanna, all glory, laud, and honor. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then, abruptly, we are plunged into the solemnness of the Passion of Christ. The day begins with triumph. It ends in catastrophe. We start out prepared for a party, and then we leave as if going to a funeral. We come in joyful. We leave stricken. Somehow, the secular marketplace has not quite figured out how to capitalize on Palm Sunday. It's a little too negative, a little too depressing. The cross doesn't sell very well unless it's something you hang around your neck or dangle from your ear or hang from your wall. Now, never mind the world. It's even easy for us believers to leave out the cross. It would be perfectly possible if we did not combine these two emphases, Palm Sunday and the Passion of Christ, into one day to leave out the cross. It would be possible, maybe even preferable to some people, to come into two Sunday services in a row, Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, without ever having to face the cross or the fact that Jesus of Nazareth was abandoned, condemned, and put to death as a common criminal on the Friday in between. But let me tell you, today the cross of Christ is the main event, because there is no passage from Palm Sunday to Easter without Good Friday. There is no resurrection without the cross. Now, having said that and affirming the important choice you made this morning to come together as a community of faith who have been shaped and are being shaped by these strange events that happened in the city of Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago, there are other opportunities in the life of our church this week we call Holy Week, to be faced with what Easter is really all about. It's been mentioned that we're going to have a presentation of the Easter musical this evening. Our church choir and our children and some local instrumentalists and actors are going to be presenting the Passion of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus at Easter. We would encourage you to come and be a part of that. And then on Maundy Thursday of this week, Maundy is the Latin word for command, and it refers to Jesus's commandment to love one another as I love you. And this year we're going to be gathering on the evening of Maundy Thursday to observe a Passover Seder, which commemorates the Hebrew people's escape from captivity in Egypt. This is the very same Passover meal that Jesus and his disciples were observing in the upper room the day before his death. We're also going to be observing the Lord's Supper and remembering Jesus' sacrificial death. And then on Friday at noontime, we will be holding a Good Friday service in this sanctuary, a service of stones, and we will be remembering the Passion of Christ through scripture and prayers and hymns and special music. I invite you to attend. If you believe the story of Jesus is still the greatest story ever told, or if you even think you might believe it. As Christians living in a postmodern world, we are surrounded by all kinds of alternative stories, many that are seductive and powerful, which is all the more reason for immersing ourselves in this story, the story of Jesus and his execution on the cross, for which there would be no Christian faith, there would be no Christian church, there would be no Easter, there would be no resurrection, there would be no hope of abundant life in the here and now or for all eternity. But this morning we begin with Palm Sunday, the first scene in the final drama of the salvation story. If Holy Week concludes on Easter, it begins here with Jesus staging his own entrance into Jerusalem, where he will meet his destiny. And in our scripture lesson from Mark, he is at the head of this procession, this parade, and he is riding on a donkey, no less, that he had commanded his disciples to borrow and to which he mounted and rode into the city. The commandeering of a burro is not accidental, but deliberate. As prophesied by Zechariah, the king would come humble and mounted on a donkey, a lowly beast of burden, not a war horse of a military conqueror. Jesus is the Messiah that the prophet foretold, but he's not the sort of Messiah that the people were hoping for. This is a king who would die on a cross. Listen to how the Apostle Paul tells the story in just two sentences. He said, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. You know, there's a certain genius about Palm Sunday. We are attracted, like the crowds were that day, to all of the festivity, all the celebration. But as one author wrote, Palm Sunday is like a Trojan horse. We get lured in by the festivity, and before we know it, we're getting hit over the head with the cross. I think if we are really honest with ourselves, we don't like it. We would just as soon skip Good Friday and the cross and just come back to church on Easter Sunday when all the pain and all the suffering is over with. But we can't do that as followers of Jesus. This week is the most important week of the year for followers of Jesus. It's the week when the Church of Jesus Christ gathers all over the world and bears testimony in the full gaze of the secular world that the Son of God died an awful, God-forsaken death. And in this death, the truth about God and man and human destiny is fully revealed. But we should make no mistake about it. The world will do everything it can to turn Holy Week into something else. And if we allow it, our attention will be diverted from the primary reason that the church observes Holy Week, and that is to give testimony that in this event, the cross, the cosmic scale, has been tipped in the opposite direction so that sin and evil and death are not the last word and never will be again. Listen, the world wants us to spend our time arguing and debating the validity of the Word of God with them and even among ourselves. But if we allow it, it diverts our attention from the main event, the cross of Christ, His defeat over death in the grave. The word of the cross, Paul put it, it's always been an offense. It's never been palatable to the world. The world doesn't want us to talk about the cross. It's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who believe, it is the wisdom and the power of God. If you read the New Testament with any degree of seriousness and thought, you know that the cross of Christ is the turning point of human history. Beginning today and continuing through this week, as we commemorate the victory of the Son of God over death and evil, I hope that we will not let any secular story or any alternative story take priority over the story in our hearts and our minds. You know, there's a hymn in our Baptist hymnal titled, "Lead Me to Calvary." The first verse says, "King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary." And then the chorus says, "Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary." Just think for a moment about what those words mean. Lead me to Calvary. They mean take me to the cross. Take me to the cross. And that's what this week is all about, Holy Week. Lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Folks, this week is about staring evil in the face. It's about watching at our Lord's side in the garden as He prays. It's about seeing what human beings can do to other human beings. It's about Judas betraying his friend. It's about religious leaders condemning Jesus to death. It's about Peter denying Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. It's about the crowd shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" It's about Pilate handing him over to be crucified. It's about Jesus being scourged and beaten repeatedly over the head with reeds. It's about religious leaders hurling insults and abuse and spitting on Jesus. It's about Simon of Cyrene taking up Jesus' cross on the way to Golgotha. And it's about the thief on the cross who mocked him, but also the one who accepted him for who he was. This week is about soldiers at the foot of the cross casting lots for his garments. It's about his mother, Mary, watching her son die a terrible, horrible, excruciating death. But it's about a centurion who recognizes that this is indeed the Son of God. It's about Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, the spotless Lamb of God, who knew no sin, becoming sin for us. Think about that. The cross is about sacrifice. It's about humility. It's about obedience. Obedience to death, even death on a cross. Folks, you can't leave out the cross. You can't skip the cross. There is no resurrection without the cross. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Daniel. For those of you who don't know, Daniel's our office administrator. We're proud of him. Here's the invitation. It's what it is every week. Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. Perhaps there's someone here this morning that has never received Jesus as Savior and Lord of their lives, and we invite you to come even today. Today is the day of salvation, the Scripture says. So we would invite you to come and make that decision and receive him into your heart. Or perhaps you would like to come and join in the fellowship of this church. We believe that God is doing something special in our church, and we would love for you to come and be a part of that and to serve him with your words and your actions. Or perhaps there's another decision someone would need to make. We're here to listen to you and talk to you, whatever that may be. But thank you for being here today. There's opportunities this week to worship together as the family of God, to come together as Christians, brothers and sisters. So we invite you to come and be a part of that. So let's stand together for our benediction. And now as we enter into the highways and the byways of Blacksburg and Christiansburg and Montgomery County, the New River Valley, and beyond, may our Lord, whose arms were spread on the cross to embrace the whole world, help us this week to deny ourselves, to take up our crosses, and to follow him. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.